people aren't following up with whistleblowers. They are people near the traffic accident aren't being given enough supervision or guidance. And as a result, organizations are paying very substantial monetary sanctions. You know, Mike, do you have any thoughts, kind of as an in-house counsel, about kind of retaliation and best practices in that area?
Sure. I think that corporate America, to a certain extent, has gotten religion about retaliation. I think that it's common practice now to see in many companies of a certain size that they have policies that explicitly prohibit retaliation. I think that that's a first step. But it's also, you know, there are two other things that are just as important. You have to have policies and follow-on procedures that prohibit retaliation. But you also have to have a culture that embodies and promotes this idea of raising your hand and speaking up. In a lot of the compliance literature, they call it speak-up culture. As you know, the first line in preventing retaliation isn't the legal department. It's not the compliance department. It's supervisors throughout the company who have conversations with the people that report to them every day. In the HR literature, they call it conversations that count. And so successful companies have the ability to sort of permeate within the organization and train people at all levels of the organization to have those conversations, to be receptive to an employee who raises issues. It certainly is a legal issue, but it's also a much larger cultural and HR issue. I think the other thing that it's not only a culture issue and a policy issue, but it's also a structural issue as well. You have to have a structure in place that allows people, to the extent they don't feel like their supervisor is being responsive to their concerns, you have to give them a means of sort of going outside those reporting channels, whether it's reporting to a local HR rep or picking up. Many companies now have a hotline mechanism, right? It's part of the DOJ guidance. It's now part of it soon will be part of EU Commission guidance as well, to put hotlines in place or some sort of a mechanism for employees to go outside the normal reporting channels to make sure that their voice is heard directly into compliance or directly into legal. And I think that all three of those components have to work together.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. To kind of finish up on the retaliation, I think that the follow-up is where I see the greatest problem. The Ethics Resource Center did a survey of corporate America and found that people who reported wrongdoing in the workplace, approximately 32% perceived that they were retaliated after they reported. Now, some of you may be skeptical of that percentage, but first of all, if you're focusing on culture, that suggests that your culture isn't right if people believe that they're being retaliated against at that such a high level. I think that there's also misunderstandings that could be corrected. So sometimes you could have a good-hearted supervisor who sees that the person who reported wrongdoing in the workplace is being mistreated or likely to be mistreated, and they want to move the person to a better place where they're not experiencing that. Well, of course, that is not permissible. Follow-up isn't only about finding the problems. It's preventing unintended problems for occurring. Emily, one of the things that Mike talked about was kind of the reporting to supervisors. What do you see kind of in the tips and with supervisor, with people who are reporting to the SEC? Is that, how common is that? Do you have any other thoughts on this internal reporting generally?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with both of your observations that in our experience, that the individuals that we have worked with on the award side, you know, the data shows that they reported their concerns internally, usually first line to the supervisor, sometimes elevated it higher than that to the compliance But I think that's consistent with what we have seen as well. And it's sort of wanting to get some sort of answer from the company and not getting sometimes any answer, or sometimes getting an answer that just doesn't seem right, or sort of, you know, getting the brush off. And it's once they feel like their concerns have fallen on deaf ears that they say, okay, I'm reporting to the SEC.
A couple things there. Is one is that people don't report internally or externally without talking to people. And so their friends are going to know that they reported, and they're going to keep going back to them saying, did you hear anything? What did anything happen? What up? And even if the organization's doing all the right things, if they're not communicating with that employee, you're essentially tainting your culture, because now more and more people have the belief that if you report, the right things don't happen. So another kind of thing that I would tell you to think about is the supervisor level reporting. Kind of both Emily and Mike have said, that's the first place that people typically report. That's the most common place. And in my view, it's the area where the information often gets lost. And so if I were representing corporate America, I would be looking for ways to ensure that that information isn't lost, and that supervisors don't view it as kind of a sign of their inability to manage their affairs when they're reporting concerns that have been reported to them.